Foo Bar Radio.
It's been a month, a long old month.
Have you missed me?
Of course I've missed you.
Really?
And I'm very excited to have you back.
I am excited to be back. I feel at home. It's so good to be back. But I have had, oh my goodness, if you know what I've been through, you will see it soon. I can't talk about it, but...
Well, if for anyone that's going to look on Twitter and maybe the Mail Online later, to be honest, you have seemed to have had a bit of a makeover. By the way, this is Access All Areas, everyone.
It is,
hello, welcome.
Darling. Welcome. We're on Fubar Radio. And we've got some amazing guests, by the way. But yes, I have stripped back. It's like less of the Lizzie Cundy, more of the former Lizzie.
Okay.
Before Lizzie Miller, who was carefree, didn't worry too much about makeup.
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But was much more sort of stress-free life, and that's what I want to continue.
So you've gone away and done something that you're not allowed to talk about just yet. But I have to say, you do feel there's something, a bit of a different vibe to you, a bit of a different vibe. I'm not
well,
seeing
you're, thank you.
You've got a little less makeup on. You were wearing flats when I
did have flats. Do you know what? I haven't worn flats for 20 years. And I can get around so much faster. Why didn't I do it before?
Yeah, but it's because you're not tottering.
I'm not tottering about.
On those cobbles outside.
Like a fool. But I've got flats. And you know what? I feel like I'm enjoying life again.
Fabulous. And that's exactly what we want from you.
And I'm sorry. I know the old Lizzie Cundy could be a little bit of a Muppet. But I'm a new Lizzie. And I really feel it.
Can you, obviously, again, we can't talk about exactly what you've
talk
done,
about
which
this
is a
show.
Bit annoying.
I'm
But in what can you feel internally? In what ways have you changed?
Because I have seen through, basically, the crap, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I am surrounded by a lot of fakeness, and I know that comes with the showbiz world. Mm-hmm. But it's just being able to recognise it and know what's important in life. And I've come back home and thought, you know what? Does it matter if I'm not wearing lip gloss? Does anyone really give a shit? No.
And you say that, you've got a little bit of lip gloss.
That's the thing, because I've got very sore, they got burnt in the sun. I am tanned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a real life changer for me.
Wow.
And changed in lots of ways, even politically.
Oh, please tell me more.
No, I just, you know what, I fell in love with where I was. Nearly was the same. And just seeing the struggle of some people as well. But it's just made me realise a lot of things. So hopefully I've come out of it a bit of a better
person. Are you no longer a Conservative?
At the minute, no. Theresa May, you need a goal, baby.
Well, we knew that before.
But yeah, I have changed. And in a lot of ways, Stephen. Wow. Honestly, you'd be very pleased. I'm with you on the Brexit.
Yes, finally.
I have seen the light.
Good.
And you know what? A lot of wonderful things happened. I'm very, very blessed. And you know what? Life's short. You've got to live it and be real.
Grab it by the balls, Candy.
Grabbed it by the balls and
had a good time with
it. Had a good time. Anyway, moving on, because I cannot talk about it.
Okay.
But I can't wait to be able to talk about it. And obviously, I will do it here first on FUBAR.
As soon as you can. But we have some fabulous guests. I have not been this excited about a show in a long time. No offence to any previous guests.
Yeah.
But genuinely, this is an incredible show tonight, and I'm very excited.
No, me too. I am.
First up, we have the incredible Courtney Act, who we just met outside. Very sweet.
How beautiful.
Very beautiful. Winner of Celebrity Big Brother, but, you know...
Deserved winner.
A lot of men such as myself will know her originally. Well, first of all, she was on all the Australian shows. Then we all kind of got to love her on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And then came and just smashed CBB UK and actually won the whole thing. Walked it.
Taught Anne Wickham. What's her name?
Whittaker.
I have had a wine, I'm sorry. But I am home and I'm excited. A few things,
Certainly did. So we're going to have Courtney in...
Yeah, but Courtney, you can tell she's beautiful on the outside and the inside. And I'm so excited. She's in the studio, flesh.
So am I.
And how good does she look?
Fabulous. I had a run for your money tonight, babes.
I'm not wearing enough makeup today. I tell you.
Then we also have, this is very exciting for me as well.
Yes.
This is like my two dream shows, RuPaul's Drag Race and Eurovision. You know how much I'm obsessed with Eurovision.
Obsessed.
We have the amazing Suri, who entered for the UK this year. And I'm very excited to talk to her. It was obviously a fairly dramatic event for her in the end. You didn't see
it,
did you?
I've been off the phone, everything, for a whole month. So I didn't see the Eurovision. So tell me what happened, because I haven't got a clue what went on.
Well, so she was playing 7th or 8th place in the running order. Halfway through her song, a man got on stage, grabbed her microphone off her and shouted about Nazis in the UK media. There was a little tussle. She then, he was fought to the ground, and then she grabbed her mic back and continued singing the song, and she was amazing.
She should have won for that.
Well, the results didn't quite represent, but then, you know, it's a whole thing. I'm very excited to talk to her about that. And
yeah,
she's also got a new single out, which is amazing. So we're going to talk to her about that as well. Shall we play a little song?
Please, can we? Because I'm home and I'm really missed you all.
What do you want to What do you want to play?
I love a bit of Katy Perry.
You want to play a bit of Katy Perry? Okay, we'll play a bit of Chain to the Rhythm and then we'll get Courtney in.
Trapped in our pink fence. Break down the walls to connect, inspire. Up in all your high place, liars. Time is ticking for the empire. The truth they feed is feeble, as so many times before. The greed of all the people. They stumble and they fumble and we about to riot. They woke up, they woke up, the lions.
That's my favourite track of
all
time.
I know
time.
It is, but it's why we played it. Your favourite track of all time.
I've been playing it at my funeral. I've already booked it in. Sorry.
Up there in euphoria, hon. We have our incredible first guest, Courtney Act, in the studio.
Hello!
Courtney's in the house.
This is very exciting for me personally, for our listeners. I know I've got some friends tonight who have never listened to my show before, but are listening now because you're here.
Well, aww. I feel honoured. Well, the last time I saw you, Lizzie, was my escape into the real world.
I know. That was the...
You're actually the first human being that I spent any time with. They put me in a green room and it was just you and me sort of standing there and I was like, where am I? What's going on? I thought I'd died and gone to heaven and so you were God.
This is fresh out of when you came out of Celebrity Big Brother. When
I
you won
it.
Celebrity Big Brother.
And I had just put on this dress and I thought I looked dressed up and then you walked in and I thought, oh, I feel underdressed. And you were so, because it was such a surreal moment. It was, I mean, winning Big Brother, what was that whole thing like?
It was surreal. It feels like you've taken some sort of psychedelic.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
And, well, let me tell you. It's like you've taken a psychedelic. And it was just... And actually, thank gosh Emma is there because she is like the housemate whisperer. Mm-hmm. She, like, stares in your eyes. She's got this magical power and she just stares at you. And
calms
she, like,
you down.
Has this pose and she's just like, look into my eyes. Like, there's nobody else in the room. And I don't know what it would be like if she wasn't there. She's kind of like your lifeline.
That's so sweet. Yeah, she's a great girl, isn't she? She's perfect for that role.
But that was a little while ago now, hasn't it? Six months. Yeah.
But
Four months.
It was tricky time though. It was tough in there for you because you were up against it with Anne.
Yeah.
With our friend Anne, who's been on this show.
Yeah.
And
did she pick a song to play?
It was Chained to the Rhythm by Katy Perry.
That's her favorite song.
But it was challenging, wasn't it? It was tough.
It was tough. It was fun, though, for the most part, you know. And Anne, looking back at it, I think I was really... I'm really grateful Anne was there because whilst I disagree with so much of what she stands for, like, she is a super intelligent woman.
Jeez.
And when am I going to get to live with someone who's got such diverse and opposing views to me? And to get to, like, listen to her and hear what her reasoning behind her views were, I was still like, you still make absolutely no sense on that to me. I hear what you're saying, but I feel like you've cherry-picked a fact to prove a point that's related to something other than, you know. It was interesting, but it was still, like, she was one of my favourite people to talk to in the house.
Well, because you feel like you're, even if you're not learning something, it is still an engaging discussion, right? Like, and that was actually really evident watching it, I think, at the time.
Mm. Well,
and
it was an eye-opener,
and because
it?
Also that hadn't really happened on Celebrity Big Brother for a long time. It was so many screaming matches and so much people shouting at one another. This series felt very different.
That's why I enjoyed it, because we didn't have the screaming matches. Mm. We had proper conversations. Mm. And though you didn't agree with her, it was interesting to watch.
Well, also, it worked really well, I think, in your favour, because most of the people were like, well, actually, when you look back at it, you're like, well, technically, Courtney is right. We're in the 21st century now. It's time to move on from those thoughts. And, you know, Anne's not in government anymore, and many people's thoughts are changing.
Yeah.
Did it feel like that in there? You know, like you felt like you were on the side of righteousness almost.
I didn't really know, because you don't know what's going on the outside, and you're really left. It's a battle of the wits. It just in your own mind. Mm. And so it was more just sort of thinking to myself, like, why do I think these things? How much is too much, how, and like just kind of gauge, like, because I had like Amanda and Wayne saying like, yeah, this isn't the place for it, and I was like, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure
the year of the woman, like they've led it with a political theme. I'm like, I'm absolutely sure this is. But when everybody's telling, and it's that thing in life, everybody's telling you that something's wrong, then you're like, oh, is it? Oh, and you start to question yourself. Yeah. And it was just that thing of like, no, hold true to your values and just, you know, I didn't need to go wild, but when I came out I watched every episode
I've seen you do the whole on Twitter, you took a little while, didn't you?
Oh my god, I took months.
Because it must be weird watching yourself. And you had a lovely relationship with Andrew,
yeah, who sends his love, I'm sure. I actually text tweeted
did
him.
Did you?
I WhatsApped
him. Well, he's adorable.
And said, I'm going on Lizzie's show tonight, and I'm sure that we'll be commiserating the fact that you're engaged now, Andrew.
Well, we are, to be fair.
We all are.
Yeah, I've got to say, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, Andrew engaged to Caroline Flack. Who would have thought it?
Who would have thunk? But it happened. It's
very
happened.
Quick. It was very,
very quick. Wasn't it?
It was very quick. And
whirlwind.
I've had, you know, I've met Caroline, hung out with him and her, and they're just like this. Like, if you look at his social media, it's just videos of him annoying Caroline. Like, it just, it's
standard.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Are you jealous at all?
I'm not jealous, no. Oh, okay. I'm surprisingly not jealous, actually, which was really weird. I thought that I would be like,
kill her.
Yeah. I think I was a bit.
He's a very handsome boy. I mean, they can't take that away from him, right?
But he's quite highly strung.
He's
because we all met that night. Yeah. Obviously, it was the final. I think I had 2 rounds with him before I had a glass of wine. I know, no, but they were nice. We'd made up, and then it was weird. He's such a strong character. He's quite emotional.
Has strong opinions, right?
Like, yeah, strong opinions.
Speaking of glass of wine, this is delicious.
Good.
Whatever I'm sipping on right now.
We love this show.
Am I allowed to tell people that?
Absolutely, of course you are.
I've been told I'm allowed to say any swear word
you can do and say whatever
I
you like on this
and
show.
And when it comes to Catholic.
Yes!
Oh, I also have to tell you, sorry, FUBAR, there's a bar in LA called FUBAR.
I've been.
And on Wednesdays they have BFD, Big Fat Dick.
Oh my God, I must go.
I didn't go to that night.
What you do is you go out into the back room, they take a photo of your junk, if you're so inclined, which I have not been as yet, and then they pin up printouts of the penises on like a clothesline, and then everybody votes, and at the end of the night, the person with the biggest, fattest dick, I've been told I can say anything, so
yeah,
I'm saying
you can, go ahead.
Wins, you know, $100 bar tab.
Well, and that's all you want from life, isn't it? $100 bar tab.
I have just been sent one, weirdly, and I'm going to send it to you because I think he'd win
a dick
this.
Pic.
Yeah.
Lizzie's going to share hers tonight.
I might, after a couple of these. Yeah, but it was a lovely relationship, you and Andrew.
It was.
It felt there. It was kind of like you were falling in love. It looked to me like you were. Kind of.
I think we both were.
Yeah.
Which was the funny thing about it is that, but it was like, I guess it was like a different kind of love. Mm. And it's funny because we both sort of will message, and I think we both feel the same way, where we're like, I just miss then. Because it's all
that
different
moment,
now.
Yeah.
When you're out, and like, we'll catch up and hang out. But it's just like that thing where we're both it's just so different now. Like, there's this whole world and other things, and it's
Caroline
just,
Flack.
And Caroline.
She's in the middle going, hello, what are you talking about?
I'm still here, darling.
Yeah. Well, the first time I met her was with Shane, and then the next time I didn't really think about it, and I went to her house, and I'd been at some event, and I was like, I had like my hair snatched back in this high pony, and I was looking.
Fierce.
Can I say it?
Yeah,
I was looking cunt, and that's what the drag queens say.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I like it.
And it was funny because I met her, and she was like, she'd just been like hanging around the house in her pajamas, and it was one of those those moments where I was like, the optics on this are perfect. I'm here in my snatchback pony, like meeting the new girlfriend, like,
oh, here she
okay,
is.
Here she goes.
She was so sweet and lovely. And they're just like, they're absolutely adorable together.
Well, I'm very disappointed to hear that.
And do you think it's going to work out? I mean, because there is the age gap, we have to say. Not that I'm, you know, listen, I've gone out with a younger guy.
Have you? I'm so surprised, Lizzie.
But do you think it's going to work, seriously? Because there is a bit of an age gap.
Well, nobody questioned the age gap when it was him and I, Lizzie, and I'm only 2 years younger than Caroline.
Oh, good point.
See, nobody was like, amazing. Oh, look at that cougar, Courtney.
Because she looked really good.
Thank you.
No, careful.
Dig that hole, babes. No, she looks really amazing.
Good. She does, to be fair.
He's trying to dig himself out.
I'm going to rummage through her, like...
No, she looks great. But there is a bit of an age gap, and they did have a little split at the beginning, so...
I say good luck to them.
Yeah. Well, look, they've like got that. Your blessing, and I think they you do. Should be bridesmaid.
Maybe I could be the seller. No, I think I should be the best man in like a little red dress.
Could you be both?
I think it's just half and half.
Yeah, yeah. Do the half. They did that challenge on Drag Race, right?
Did I do? No, that was another season. That's awkward.
God damn it.
Yeah, but that is a really good idea. You could do half and half. Yeah.
They do that. They have done it on Drag Race.
They have done
not
it.
Not Courtney's season, I apologise.
Best man.
So, speaking of Drag Race, have you been watching the latest series?
Of course. Has the new episode online yet? On Netflix,
it'll be
where
tomorrow,
we watch it legally?
Tomorrow.
Stephen will know.
No, it hasn't aired in the US yet. It's Thursday night.
Okay.
So it'll be Friday morning. It's available on Netflix. Okay. What are your thoughts on the final? What are your thoughts about all this drama about Eureka? I don't know if you probably have seen online.
I saw it a little while ago, and then I just heard yesterday how it had blown up again. Mm-hmm. I think, yes. I won't dig another hole there. The only thing I know is that when the day that those comments came out and everybody was kicking off about it, she posted a video that I posted like when Drag Race was announced. I was in Peru. Sharon Needles had done this video for Aquaria saying Aquaria, it's me, Aquaria, from the future. I just came back to tell you that something, something, something. And she was like, oh my God, they're coming, I have to go. So then I did one saying, Eureka, it's me, Eureka, from the future. I just came back to tell you that season 9 was not your... And so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then on the day that the whole... N-word scandal came out. She posted the video of me, and I was like, don't drag me into this.
Oh my God.
Well, but then it has been a bit of a drama, right? And this series seems to have been quite drama heavy.
Yeah, which Drag Race oddly isn't usually
normally,
like that.
Yeah.
But I think they're trying. I mean,
do they want the drama though? Because it, you know,
I think
so.
Now, maybe it's on VH1 now. Maybe they're like looking for a bit more spice and drama.
Are any of them jealous of you because you've done so well? I mean, you've won Celebrity Big Brother. Everyone knows you. You've worked.
Yes.
No, I'm nodding in a not in a. No, that wasn't a yes. I was saying like uh huh.
You understand, but there must be a bit of envy because you're in a competition and you've done so well.
You know, I. Well, of course, Michelle Visage was on a previous year of Celebrity Big Brother, mm-hmm. and she came fifth. But you're looking at a camera. I was like, what's he pointing at? Oh, hi, everyone at home. No, but I don't know. The girls who are my friends are supportive of me. And I think...
And there is a quite... Most of the girls are friendly, right?
Yeah, from Bianca show. And Adore and Darian and I are thick as thieves. Trixie and Cartier and I. Willem and Alaska and I. We have a group message. No, it's funny because... It just wasn't mentioned until a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just sort of came up into... Alaska did say...
What, I said, oh, yeah, you won thing.
It was
that
like a throwback, yeah. Alaska was like, congratulations, really proud of you, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then...
Willem.
But Willem just never seemed to mention it, say anything. It was like it never happened. And then a couple of weeks ago, he said something about... I don't know, something that happened.
That show you did.
Yeah, and I was
oh,
you are aware that it occurred. Oh, just checking.
Because you are in a girl band with them? You were? It's kind of all over the place.
I don't know what the party line is anymore.
Okay.
But we're doing a gig in Columbus, Ohio for Pride on the 15th of next month.
Okay.
And I feel like I said somewhere once before in passing, and then, of course, all of the fans got a hold of it.
Tends to get all over Reddit, right?
Yeah, perhaps it was like our Beatles on the roof of gig,
mm-hmm.
which was their last gig.
Got it. Yeah.
But
not because you've got a Columbus, Ohio to go to. So.
Yes. Well, yeah, which was booked like a year ago, which is why it's still just randomly in the middle of
got it, okay.
But do you love working here? I mean, do you love London?
I do. I genuinely... have fallen in love with London so much not just because of Big Brother. Last summer I was here doing an MTV show and there was a week of perfect weather.
Oh yes.
And that's what did it. Yeah. I was like, oh, I get it now.
Like there's very brief periods of time when London is absolutely perfect.
No, but when the sun shines, there's no better place.
Yeah.
But it just pours with rain most of the time. I mean, I got off the plane, I've been away for the month.
Unknown place.
But when I landed, it was raining, cold. And you know when you just think, oh, I'm home. But it's London, isn't it? But when the sun shines, there's nowhere better.
And because the sun has shined, I now appreciate it more when the sun's not shining.
Yes.
Is that, I don't know if that's weird. Yeah,
I think that's what happens when Australians move to the UK, right?
Well, that's very true.
You ration your sunshine, you know.
So and you come to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like East London, Shoreditch, it's like, for me, it's a utopia. I've never been somewhere that is such an actual example of like diversity in sexuality and race, and it's just
even religion. It's
I was like at a bar on last Friday, and I was like,
"Which one?
This isn't a gay bar. It's Last Days of Shoreditch."
Oh yes,
I was like, "This isn't a gay bar. This isn't a straight bar. It's just a bar."
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I've been so accustomed to like straight bars and gay bars being a thing in my mind. And I was like, I'm here with some gay friends. There's lots of gay people here. There's lots of straight people here. I'm hanging out with straight people. I'm hanging out with gay people. I'm hanging out with, you know, brown people and white people and black people. And everybody's just kind of like having fun. It was really special for me.
I think that London is a special place.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
it's quite carefree.
Because when I went to Australia, because my ex was half Australian from Brisbane.
Which half?
Yeah, Brisbane. Yeah. I'll tell you after the show.
Did a dingo get his foreskin like a dingo got mine? Biggest regret of my life. Sorry, anyway. Back to your ex-boyfriend.
Husband. But Australians are very different.
Yeah.
You know, and when I went out, I mean, it was 20 years ago, but it was kind of like a bit of a culture shock because they were quite, you know, I was like, oh my God, can you really say that? They were, you know, it was a bit harsh. Yeah. I mean, was it hard growing up?
It was interesting. I think I had my escape, which was singing and dancing and acting school. So,
yeah.
And when you grow up in it, and kids are kind of, well, I think kids are pretty similar up until puberty.
Yeah.
Like, we're all just, you don't really get that, like, you versus me as much, at least. And so I was just, everybody was friends. And then I went to a different school for grade 6 and 7, like a private school that I was going to go to for high school, and I just hated it. It was kind of, those 2 years were just horrible, and I refused to go back. And so mum and dad let me go back to public school for high school. I don't know what the words are here. It's all very confusing.
Fine, we get it.
Okay. And so then when I went back to high school, those 2 years, everyone had sort of gone off
and ways.
Become the rebel or become the jock or become the whatever. And it had challenges. And I was a library monitor. That was my
Fab.
Refuge.
Oh, I love that.
And but then singing and dancing and acting lessons on you know, was my place to escape, where there was so many other people like me and I could just be myself and express myself. And I think that it was, you know, every Wednesday night, but that gave me everything I needed to make it through the week. And I knew that I'd be back there next Wednesday and just be able to be me. And I was able to take the me that I was allowed to be on Wednesday nights back to the rest of school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I now am really grateful for that. I didn't know it at the time, but now looking back, I'm like, oh, wow, imagine how bleak it would have been had I not had that.
Definitely.
That place where I was just, and it wasn't about being gay or about, it was just about being you.
Yeah.
Expressing yourself.
And being different.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
But then obviously you did go on to do Big Australia. Was it Pop Idol?
Big Australian Idol?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it was called. I was going to say Big Australian Talent Show, but it was Pop Idol.
Pop Idol.
And then from that you kind of gained notoriety and then Drag Race came along, and it's kind of just been like one success after another for you.
Yeah, I mean, it has been 18 years of...
Yeah,
it's 2003 was Idol, and then Drag Race was 2014.
So it was a long time between.
But during that time, I was working on, like, morning television, doing beauty advertorials in drag, selling makeup to the women of Australia. But it was interesting. The point that
I love that.
I know, it was... But the fascinating thing is that at the time, it was just enough that I was in drag, didn't need to be mentioned or spoken about.
Okay.
It was kind of like the elephant in the room. Everybody knew, but it was kind of like here selling makeup and doing this thing, and that was kind of the thing. But the thing that I love about being in 2018 and being in the UK is that now it's about the fact that I'm in drag and that I'm queer and that it's about that rather than being like, let's not talk about that.
Let it
happen.
Exactly. Yeah. And do you feel more confident in drag when you've got your makeup on? Is it kind of like a shield in a way where you feel more...
It's interesting because I think the people, like, through my formative years that I struggled with the most were straight men. And so as Courtney, I feel extremely confident around them in a way that I don't as Shane. But otherwise, I feel pretty good either way. But it's just knowing the power of a woman with straight men is just so fascinating to see them, like, all... fawn and fall.
It's a bit gooey eye, but that, you saw that on Big Brother because Andrew, as Courtney, there was this chemistry.
Horn, raging horn.
But there was, wasn't there?
Was like, but maybe behind, maybe in the toilet.
The toilet door. I didn't know there were cameras in the toilets.
Well,
do you know one of my favourite things I've seen you do was? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was in one of the southern states of the USA, and people, you were like interviewing Trump supporters.
Oh, the Trump, yeah.
And people didn't, because you're very fishy, you're very passable as a woman, people didn't even question it, right? So they treated Courtney as a woman, but then they're talking about like gay rights and how much they're, but they have no idea what's actually going on. Like,
oh, I must see that.
Was that scary to do something like that?
Well, I did take precautionary measures, and I had a 6'4", 280-pound off-duty armed police officer just out of sight of the camera.
Best way to do things.
And in my mind, I was like, everyone was surprisingly lovely. I'm like, I don't think most of them realized that I was not a woman. But then also, like, the man with the gun standing right next to you, probably also deterrent to any dickhead who's going to cause trouble. But, like, there was a group of boys that I was talking to, like, young, like that thing in your mind where you're like, oh, yeah, and you're like, oh, no, actually, wait, they're probably, like, 18 or, like, just not. Yeah. That's, like, anyway, moving on. And was talking to these boys, and they're all, like, they're all into it, kind of giving me the look. And then it's always the way, like, the one closest to you is, like, talking and engaged, and then the one on the far end who's got, like, the distance, and he's like, hang on a minute, there's something about her. Then he whispers to the next one, then two are quiet. Then he whispers to the next one, then three are quiet. Then it finally gets to him, and they're all, like, just staring at you like... And then I saw them later on, actually, as they were coming out, and I was like, hi, boys, can we talk to you on the way out? They're like, no, no, that's cool.
No, we're going home.
Like, I made you feel things in your pants. And now you're questioning everything about your identity.
And so they should.
Exactly.
But is that quite... That's an interesting side to drag that not every drag queen has, right? Mm. You know what I mean? So that's a whole different... And you've said before, you said on Big Brother, that you have had sex with Courtney. Mm-hmm. You are... You. How do you describe yourself? Pansexual, right?
Yeah, my gender identity, I'd say, is gender fluid or gender queer, which just means, like, as much as there's a costume element, especially when I'm on stage... there's also a part of me that really loves expressing myself like this. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, the style of drag that I've chosen is female illusion. And I think that's because it's intertwined with, you know, my gender. I don't want to be a woman. I love living as a boy. I love both. Mm-hmm. I really love, like, for me, there's something so fascinating about getting to be perceived as a boy and getting to be perceived as a girl and seeing how people react, because everything looks the same out of my eyes, but everybody acts differently.
It's very different to when you're dressed up. Yeah. Well, we saw that on Big Brother. Yeah. And I have to ask the question because I'm getting tweets.
Yes.
Was that on purpose, the dress falling down on your when you walked in?
It was not. And I know, I mean, I wished I was that smart. I could not have planned it better because what happened was I had this three-piece outfit that was the top, a pair of shorts, and this jacket. And I wore it for the promo, and I just loved that sequin and that fabric so much. And I was so disappointed that now that I'd worn it for the promo, I was like, I can't really wear it again. And so then I asked my stylist if he could find the fabric, because I had it made in LA, if he could find the fabric and make me a skirt, because it's the premiere, I should wear something a bit more formal.
Oh, okay.
You know, something more demure rather than like shorts. And they put pop studs on it, which was fine when I was wandering around the dressing room. Everything was great. And I was, and yeah, I mean, Thankfully, I made sure my tuck was extra tight.
When it came down again, it was like Anne's face. I will never forget.
Priceless. Amanda Barry was really furious about that as well, wasn't she?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what sort of it came back later on, where she was just like,
she felt it was.
But it came out of nowhere. The weird part was we were having this conversation in the bathroom about marriage equality. And I was saying, you know, what I was saying was Anne voted against your right to be married and to have a civil partnership. And she's like, well, I've got a civil partnership. And I'm like, yeah,
right,
exactly.
That's my point.
But in spite of Anne. And then she was kind of like, and another thing. I've worked with drag queens from Danny LaRue and everybody else, and I don't believe that. And I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
Where did that come from?
You've been sitting on that one all month, just letting it brew.
She's been brewing. Yeah. But who would you say are still your friends? Who are you? Is there any you would never talk to again?
I mean, Andrew and I definitely. Like, we chat Andrew, all the time on WhatsApp and see each other all the time.
Caroline doesn't get jealous with that.
No.
No.
No, I think she gets it.
She gets it, yeah.
But I don't know what there was when I was at her house. He said something to her, like a previous conversation. She goes, "See what I mean?" And she's like, "Yeah, I get it." And I don't know what that was, but my mind like went racing all sorts of places. But no,
she's cool. With
from
it.
What I understand, yeah, she's totally cool.
She's cool.
Good.
She's cool.
I'm glad to hear that.
And
we have to wrap up.
I know, but I was going to say, are you friends with Anne?
I mean, I'm not friends with Anne. I don't. I would call her up. I would love to see her at my show. I actually think, although I do say cunt in the opening number. So,
I think she'd probably walk out at that point,
I know,
right?
And it's
so tell us a bit about your show quickly.
Oh yeah.
So you're on tour, right?
We need to talk about your show.
Under the Covers. I'm in Glasgow this Sunday. Where does the show go? Where does this show go?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere.
Glasgow on Sunday. I'm in London on the 10th. Birmingham, Cardiff are sold out. Sorry, Dublin, Belfast, Edinburgh Fringe. Wow. Manchester, which it's
London,
really,
on the Troxy at 10th.
Yeah, London at the Troxy. Are you going to come along?
Yes! Yeah. Troxy's actually that. Not far from me, so oh, fab. Good. Into it.
Pop your names on the list.
Thanks, babes.
Courtney, you're a busy girl.
I am.
You are a busy girl.
CourtneyAct.com/under to book your tickets. That's CourtneyAct.com/under.
You've learned from the RuPaul school of
man, that's incredible.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Would you do Eurovision for Australia?
I would do Eurovision for anyone who will take me.
Fab.
If Australia, I think you should do us. I think because you're part of us now, and I would think you should do.
Is it you?
Do you
that
not
had
agree?
On the
Great
show
Britain.
She's coming. She's on straight after
she's
you.
She's on though. After you, but I think you've got to do Eurovision.
I would happily do it. I live here
I'm
now.
I'm going to book you.
Do it.
Well, you don't work for the Eurovision.
Well, I've got a hotline.
Well, yeah, you do actually. You do know some people.
I do. Oh. I think Courtney.
All right.
Courtney, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on this
thank
evening.
You guys.
It's been a real
you look
treat.
Incredible. I'm jealous of the eyelashes. I haven't got mine on tonight, but you look fantastic.
I'm going home now, so I'll leave you mine.
Yeah,
you can
please
pop
do.
On.
And we'll be down at the Troxy. See you.
Okay, good.
Fab.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
you so much.
be acting coy. They'll be sipping caipirinhas made from artificial sweetener at Circuit Week Barcelona over to Ibiza.
Very excited because Ralph Rawl is in the building.
The craziest thing that ever happened to me, I did the Grammys with Lady Gaga. First I would hear a voice would count, or then you would hear a click. So I'm playing and everything is fine. All the rehearsals were great. Sound check was great. And I'm playing going, man, I am killing because I can't hear the click. And then I realized there was no click. The click was not there.
And so, if you also stop to think, then everything goes.
On a live show, I would be that drummer that stopped on the Grammys for the rest of my life, you know? I could be sitting in like McDonald's and go, aren't you that drummer who stopped on the Grammys? You know, and I'd run out screaming.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Lizzie, we're moving on very quickly.
I'm so sorry. I'm so excited.
I'm really, honestly, I can't.
My first show back, and it is crazy.
And it's
crazy.
A really, really good one.
It's like Piccadilly Circus in here, honestly. I'm sorry.
You know how much of a Eurovision fan I am. I talk about it all year round, not just in the build-up. And I'm so excited to have Suri here.
Woo-hoo! Well done, Suri. Do you know what?
Thanks, guys.
I feel gutted. I was out of the country because I love Eurovision.
Oh.
And my friends always do a lucky dip. We say
oh, yeah.
Wins. And I heard you were incredible. Well, my friend
Thank
Bruno Tonioli adores you. He actually posted a picture of you on his Instagram.
Oh, love you, Bruno.
I say, all to vote for you and good luck. But how was it?
Yeah, it was bonkers. Bonkers. I mean, I thought I'd seen it all at Eurovision, or a fair bit. I really hadn't. I hadn't at all.
No.
And I don't think anyone was expecting what actually happened. But it still doesn't taint what was a fantastic process. The whole experience is wonderful. And it is really a joy to be a part of in any capacity. It really is.
So for those that don't know, you'd done backing vocals for two Belgian artists previously.
That's right. Yeah.
And obviously, so then you thought, well, actually, this is something I kind of want to get involved in. You were at the first Eurovision I went to as well, which in Vienna in 2015.
And what a show that
was. What an incredible show.
Yeah.
And then you did 2017.
Correct, in Kiev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, as your own artist.
Then the BBC approached me and said, would I be interested? And I'd had that insight into how incredible the whole show is and how inspiring the whole city comes to life and everything. So I thought, yeah, why not?
And are you pleased now you've done it, despite the stage invasion and all that?
Well, can we talk about that? Because I wasn't in the country and didn't know, but apparently an unknown man...
Well, he's known now.
Well, he climbed onto the stage, grabbed your microphone, started saying, Nazis of the UK media, we demand freedom, war is not peace. I mean, what were you thinking when this was going on? Were you like, oh, please...
Well,
this must be a bad nightmare.
It happened very, very quickly and very slow-mo is the only way I can kind of describe it. He was very suddenly there, but security were on him as quick as he was on me. So I turned up stage, and in all honesty, I thought the track's going to stop. The music will stop and we'll start again. That's what I thought.
I
turned away for a moment, and then you can see me sort of clapping along because the crowd is still singing. I still wanted to kind of... serve them, but I didn't have the mic. But I turned back and the mic was on the floor, and the performer instinct kind of kicks in, you know, the classic show must go on. And
the
I just thought,
show must go on.
Well, that mic's mine. We've got a song to finish.
You bloody well did. So I was in Lisbon, me and my friends, we went to a little gay bar in Barrio Alto to watch you.
Yay.
And the reaction of
was
the
it
crowd,
mad?
You should, honestly, because at first of all you're like, oh, what? Wait, something's happening, something isn't right. And literally, for a good maybe half an hour. I didn't watch the show after that. I was literally on my phone looking at everyone. Then it was like, Siri will be performing again. Oh my God, she's performing again. And then like, no, she's not performing again. She decided not to. Like the drama involved in that moment.
I know. What was it like? Drama backstage.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what was it like when they came to you and said, you do have the opportunity to perform again and you decided not to?
Yeah, well, obviously, the last part of the song, the first time I performed it, obviously had a very spontaneous fire that you could see in my eyes. I mean, I was livid. You could see I was absolutely fuming. My pupils were like, I would be. So, you know, the lyrics of that song obviously took on a new meaning as well with the hold your head up, don't give up, and yeah, all of that. Yeah. And the punches, the choreography got a bit more. Yeah. But then it hits you afterwards. So I got off stage and obviously the adrenaline, the shock, the confusion and...
Scary.
It was scary. So that hits you. We're then very quickly in crisis meetings with the EBU saying, do you want to go again? And we're like, hang on a minute. Who's going to come on next?
Can someone buy me a drink, please, first?
Yeah. Exactly. That's terrifying because really you could have gone wild saying security with all what's going on in the world at the moment.
Could have been worse.
It's very frightening.
It was.
Really frightening.
Things calmed down and obviously they said, yeah, do you want to go again? And I saw the reaction of my team, who were, of course, shocked and upset as well, but they were very, very proud of the resilience and the recovery and the performance. And really, we wouldn't have been able to replicate that again. And we can compare it slightly to some sporting events where you work your bum off for six, 8 months, up to that 3 minute slot, whether it's a 100 meter sprint or whether it's a song at the Eurovision Song Contest, whatever happens, that is your moment under whatever circumstances.
It's true. It's very true.
Warts and all. And that was my 3 minutes, warts and all. And we didn't really need to go again.
That's very...
Well, I have to say, that moment, I think already you'd won over a lot of fans with your personality and your demeanour and the song. People really love the song. And that moment, I mean, it'll be Eurovision history, right? You know, that'll be talked about forever.
Yeah, but
there is, well, there is now a fight for you to do it again next year.
I've heard about this.
Are you into it? Have you heard anything from the BBC?
Has it put you off?
No, it hasn't put me off. It really hasn't, honestly, you know, and nothing will put me off performing, because that is really what I truly love. I've heard about this petition.
Have you signed it?
I have signed it.
I tell you what, I'm going to sign it after this show.
I did, I admit that. Look, because the Eurovision Song Contest is such a phenomenal thing to be a part of, whatever happens, whatever country you're doing it for. I knew I'd have a very different process doing it with the BBC, doing it for the UK, than the experience I'd had as a backing vocalist with the Belgians. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from the BBC, but I don't expect to. Like, that poor team as well, they're all a bit shell-shocked. They all need a holiday as well. Like, no one
They need a couple of weeks before they're going to start to think about next year.
It is crazy that the security wasn't tied to really... I mean, thinking about it, it could have had anything with the obvious terror war.
We had a backpack
moment,
on, and you know, there was a lot of drama about what you could and couldn't take in. I went to a dress rehearsal, and the stuff I wasn't allowed to take in a bottle of mouthwash that was just happened to be in like the bottom of my bag, like a travel size bottle of mouthwash.
You could have used it for the show.
they were very, very particular. So the fact that this guy managed to do that,
I know, and I mean, all of that is being investigated.
And it's happened now, right? And you're not hurt, so
I'm fine. It could have been worse. It was definitely the moment he was looking for. It wasn't me. He wasn't actually attacking me.
No.
But it still gives you a few little jitters. And
do you feel for next year they need to step up security and maybe
make a few
changes?
Well, it's in Israel next year. There aren't going to be any stage ovations next year,
That's for sure.
Yeah, Israel will be tight.
It happens in Britain's Got Talent.
I think they'll search you before you go. Yeah.
It's happening everywhere. BGT.
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah.
I know.
They're grabbing the buzzers. And
it does. This one of those things with a live television show that does happen. And it's happened on Eurovision before. But to clarify, you would be up for it next year if they were to approach you.
I'd consider it.
Please do it.
I tell you what, the whole country will be behind you. And I feel a lot of people feel that kind of... He tried to ruin your moment, and you deserve to be there next year. I really do believe that, and I'm going to campaign for it.
And you know people that could maybe sort these kind of things.
Unless Courtney does it.
Well, maybe you could do it together.
Courtney,
could you do it together?
I mean, I'm up for that.
Have you seen our fabulous shoes?
Actually, can I tell you, that would be an incredible duo.
Yeah, I'm seeing it already.
I've not seen a duo like that since Andrew Ridley and George Michael. That would be incredible. Let's do this.
But obviously now your Eurovision is over. For now, maybe it can happen again next year, but we don't know that for now. You've got a new song out, which is incredible.
Thank you. Really
good. Are you scared about doing those things? Do you prepare it beforehand? Do you know what's going to happen as soon as Eurovision is over? What's kind of the...
As incredible as Eurovision is, it wasn't, you know, the be-all and end-all for me. It was just another kind of wonderful little zigzag in my weird and wonderful life. So I'd written this track, Taking It Over, last year. A really fun collaboration with a Polish producer, Up and Down. And the plan was always to bring it out now, because summer 2018, it felt right.
Yeah.
So I think actually the best kind of therapy, really, coming out of Eurovision and everything that needed to be processed, was just getting more music out there and getting back on stage.
Yeah. So you've done some gigs, haven't you? You're
on tour
at the minute. Yeah. How's it been?
It's been amazing. The first night was 5 days after I'd landed from Lisbon. Sold out crowd, very emotional, which made me quite emotional as well.
I can imagine that.
It was really special, and the only time I slightly pooped myself was when I saw out of the corner of my eye someone approach the stage. I'm not joking.
She's going to live with you, isn't it?
It was Gary the photographer who was allowed to, because he was getting a few different angles.
And I was like, Gary! You ain't Gary! Thank God he's Gary!
But we had a laugh about it, and it was fine. And now going across the country, getting to meet and greet lots of the lovely people who were being supportive beforehand, but now since taking it to a new level, and just getting back on stage and keep calm and Surrey on. That's what we do.
There is a real love for you.
Thank you.
There really genuinely is.
Hasn't always been.
Now,
it hasn't happened with a British act for a while.
Can I tell you, my friends from Blue did Eurovision.
They did.
Daisy Price did Eurovision.
She didn't make it through, to be fair. But
a lot of my friends have tried, and they've not had the best kind of reception. But you, I feel like people took you into their arms and were really rooting for you.
Oh, thank you. I felt that, yeah.
We felt it in the Portuguese gay bar that I was in. There was a real... I think it was... You were a real fan favourite. Did you feel that? Did you feel people really responding to you like that?
I felt a lot of love. Aww. Yeah, I really did.
Which must be quite weird to take on, in a way. You're like, God, what am I doing?
It is. There were so many layers to this whole experience, but so many were so, so positive. They definitely outweigh the slightly negative
ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it
really
didn't worry you, the stigma of Eurovision, because people sometimes think, right, if I do Eurovision, then it's a bit naff, though. Yeah. I adore it. And every year, me and my friends... Apart from this time.
I think that's a very British-centric way of thinking.
But
actually,
they kind of think, it's a little bit, you know. And there's a bit of a snobbery about it, mm-hmm. if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But I actually think, for you, you've come out triumphant.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've had a very good experience. I had seen... with the Belgian artists that I'd supported, so Blanche last year and Loïc Notet 2 years before, they'd had a phenomenal time. And there is a shift in mainland Europe to the UK attitude. Mm-hmm. So going into this, I knew that, and I knew it would be different. But I also sort of just thought, well, I haven't got much to lose. You know, I'm sure I'll still have a wonderful time with this. And then whatever happens is hopefully slightly within my control as well, and so bringing out the new music and going mm-hmm. on tour and doing, just showing people what I really, really do. It's the only thing with Eurovision, doing it with the BBC, is there are some slight creative compromises that had to be made.
Again,
I knew that going into it. I had a choice whether to do it or not. No one was forcing me to. But now I can sort of get back to my Surrey thing and then go from there.
And
is there competition with the other countries? I always think that. You know, when I'm sort of like... Russia, you know, Greece doesn't give us a point, and we go, right.
I think that definitely happens for the audiences, and that's what makes it a TV spectacle mm-hmm. and a great TV spectacle in that sense, a great entertainment show.
It's like nil point.
No one gives you a nil point. Can I just point that out? Do they? No one ever says nil point on Eurovision.
No, they never say it.
Have we got that? It's just a cliche.
You just don't get any points. No one says, I'm giving you nil point.
There's a big zero by the UK for most of the night.
I really don't like the countries that don't give us any points. I'm thinking, why?
Well, now it's slightly changed.
Yeah. I'm like, how come? Not going there on holiday ever again.
What were your favourite songs from this year that you kind of take away and you might still be listening to?
I did really like Austria. Caesar Sampson.
Oh my god, really good. Yeah.
Beautiful man.
Really handsome.
Oh, Lizzie's handsome.
I'll show you a picture of
him. Oh my god, I've got a great pic. Don't know if you've got the same pic that I've got, Steve.
Oh, I'm into seeing it, Paige.
We'll share a pic.
Thank you.
He's a gorgeous guy. And I really enjoyed Australia. And she didn't actually get much love on the night.
No, she didn't.
She didn't.
The least public votes. No. Was it the least
Why?
Public vote?
Why?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know, wasn't that me?
No, babe.
Why did she
no,
have
babe.
So much love?
So, I don't really know. There's when you look back from her jury performance to her live performance, there was a slight.
That's why Courtney but, you know, has to do
but you so but she was a lovely girl, right?
Oh, she's such a beautiful energy on and off stage, and it was such a feel good like 90s tune. I loved it, but there were a lot Lithuania.
Oh yes,
Yeva, Lithuania. Mm-hmm. That's my kind of style of music, anyway. Beautifully mm-hmm. mellow electro. It was gorgeous.
Well, it's actually got very similar to Taking It Over in a way.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, I'm still listening to the most, which is a little bit embarrassing, is Moldova.
Oh, stop it, Stephen! I'm leaving. I'm done.
I'm going to look that up when I get home, Stephen. You might be better.
It was a very impressive stage performance and camp.
Was it, Stephen?
I'm with you, my darling. I really think you've got to do the next time.
It could be fun, couldn't it?
It would be incredible.
Song for Surrey 2019.
And you loved it. And I could tell you loved it.
I love it. It's impossible not to have a good time at Eurovision, even with some surprises and a few frights and whatever. But, you know.
You weren't disappointed with the countries that didn't vote, were you? Were you sitting there thinking, you sods?
My head was in a million places. But I tell you what, in all honesty, the repercussions of what he did on stage, unfortunately, the rest of the night took a very, very serious tone. And they needed me out of the building because they thought there was a bigger threat. So I didn't know
that because we didn't see you in the green room. Was that why?
I had to leave.
Oh, that's a real shame because that's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun. As in a terrorist threat?
They just didn't know. Yeah, exactly. They just didn't know what was still going. Was this guy alone?
I didn't know
was he
that.
Working alone, you know? So they had to get me out of the building.
They didn't know what was going on.
I just don't know. So they got me out of the building very quickly before the show had finished, before I got to say goodbye to any of my fellow artists and friends, they whisked me out a back door.
No one takes you away from the party.
I know. So the repercussions then became quite sad. And so that's not the lasting memory that I take from Eurovision, but it
wasn't
was
the
shame.
Full experience
well, then
that you could
also
have had.
Also, you should do next time.
Done. Surrey, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, wonderful to meet you.
And you.
Adore her. Isn't she adorable?
Fabulous.
Thanks for having me.
Lizzie, it's great to have you back.
I'm back, guys.
Woohoo!
I'm back.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week, thanks.
It's now or never. Feels like my turn to take it to the next step. Won't last forever. We just get one life. It keeps on getting better. You don't wanna waste this. So now we're gonna swap seats. We do it in a heartbeat. I know which way to go.